allegedly called an aunt after he was left alone during the day in their hotel room. So apparently the child called an aunt, said he's left alone in the hotel room by his mother. Now, police officers performed what they called a welfare check. This is another thing that happens if the police are called by someone and there's some allegation, they will go out to do what they call a welfare check. DCPMP does that also. Now, when that welfare check was done, the mother said she went for a drive after an argument with her boyfriend and that her son did not want to go with her. So in that case, the father removed the child from the mother's custody and filed a verified complaint. And then a licensed psychologist who evaluated the son concluded that he experienced high level of stress when living with his mother, and that her conflicts with her boyfriend and financial issues negatively impacted on her parenting. So the trial court conducted a fact-finding hearing to determine whether the mother committed abuse or neglect. When the intake worker was unable to complete her testimony, the trial court, over the defendant's objection, permitted the supervisor to testify, despite the supervisor having no direct involvement in the case. And then the defendant mother further objected to the use of the child's statements to police as hearsay and to the admission of the psychologist's report. So the trial court found the defendant's conduct grossly negligent or reckless and credited the psychologist's conclusion that the child suffered from PTSD because of such conduct. On appeal, the mother argued that the trial court's findings were not supported by competent, admissible evidence. So that's always what the judge must rely on, must make findings of fact and reach conclusions of law on competent, admissible evidence. And in this case, the mother said the trial court was in error in relying on the psychologist's findings. So the appellate court agreed and reversed, ruling that the statements, that the mother's statements did not sufficiently corroborate the child's statements, which alone were insufficient to support the trial court's finding. And moreover, the court ruled that the statements were insufficient to support the psychologist's report and noted that she was not produced as a witness to admit the report. In other words, the court just admitted the report without having the psychologist's testimony. And so you need the psychologist's testimony. And that is very surprising that that didn't happen. But in any event, this is a case where DCPMP became involved basically because of a welfare check that the police made. So that's about the end of the program, and we'll be back after the news with the sports guys. So stay tuned.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You USA Radio News.
The tax cuts are really kicking in far beyond what anyone thought. Numerous companies have today come out and announced that they're going to make big payments to their employees, something that nobody really had in mind. So we're very honored by it. But the market is good. The jobs reports were very good, and we think they're going to get really good over the next couple of months.
President Donald Trump, moments ago before boarding Marine One, the president and other Republican leaders will be spending part of the weekend at Camp David, where they'll be going over a strategy for the 2018 midterm elections and other agenda items that the Republicans hope to accomplish in 2018. The Justice Department launched a new inquiry as to whether the Clinton Foundation engaged in any pay-to-play politics or other illegal activities while Hillary Clinton served as Secretary of State. The Justice Department will be looking into whether the Clinton Foundation promised or performed any policy favors in returns for large charitable donations. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under massive IRS attack. So I hired Sam Landis. Sam did an amazing job. We won twice. I didn't owe a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU. Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root. I'm a father of four, and I worry every day about this dangerous world. There are so many things that could go wrong. Economic collapse, stock market crash, terrorist attack, war with North Korea. There's a lot to worry about when it comes to protecting your income, assets, and your family's future. Thankfully, my good friends at Tangible Investments are your safe haven from the storm. Call now, and Tangible Investments will send you, absolutely free, a one-ounce American Silver Eagle, along with your guide for investing in precious metals. To receive your free American Silver Eagle, call toll-free 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000.
The Trump administration unveiled a proposal yesterday to permit drilling in most U.S. continental shelf waters, including protected areas of the Arctic and Atlantic, where oil and gas exploration is opposed by governors like those of Florida and New Jersey. Joe Petrowski is the former president of Gulf Oil Group. He explains why this is a good idea.
You just have to look at history of the importance of energy, not only to our economic well-being, but to our national security. I mean, most great wars have been started over the fight for energy, whether it was Japan bombing us shortly after we embargoed oil in 1941, mm-hmm. or the Germans moving into the Polish and Romanian energy fields in World War II.
The U.S. economy added 148,000 jobs in the month of December. The figure caps off the seventh straight year of annual employment growth of over 2 million. That's the longest streak since the 1990s. This is USA Radio News.
Howdy, folks. I'm Colonel Sanders. When I told folks my signature KFC pot pie was filled with delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken, veggies, and topped in a golden flaky crust and only cost $3.99, they said I was crazy. And maybe I was, because that was 1980, and $3.99 was a lot of money back then. But today, getting a meal that size for just $3.99 is a really great deal. So stop into a KFC and get yourself a pot pie. It's finger-licking good. At participating KFCs for a limited time. Prices may vary. Tax extra.
Attorney General Jeff Sessions moved Thursday to revoke the Obama-era administration's See No Evil policy on the federal enforcement of marijuana laws, announcing the federal government would no longer look the other way, even in states where marijuana use is legal. Many people are against this decision, but not former drug czar John Walters, as he says this decision will have marijuana backers actually have to back up their claims.
Even the FDA has said where people have claimed marijuana is medicine, okay, you got to prove that. We have a situation where we don't just have people sell snake oil. They have to demonstrate something.
And Walters continued.
So on the recreational side and on the medical side, we're now going to use real debate. We'll get real self-government.
U.S. and Canadian health officials are investigating whether contaminated romaine lettuce caused dozens of E. coli infections leading to one death. USA Radio Network's Wendy King has the details.
The Public Health Agency of Canada said it found enough evidence to link 41 cases of E. coli to the vegetable, though the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention said it is still attempting to determine the cause. Canadian health officials said they continue to receive reports of illness linked to romaine lettuce and that contaminated product may still be on the market. They advised Canadians to stop eating all romaine lettuce until it can be determined what farm the food came from. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
For all of these stories and more, please check out usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, we're going to be with the sports guys in just a minute, but I just wanted to let you know about the weather. And I guess, Bill, if you're in Wisconsin now, this is the weather for what sport?
Well,
I can think of three.
Absolutely, positively, is Green Bay Packer, Chicago Bear football.
No, please don't talk football.
But. Unfortunately, we ain't going there. But I'll tell you what today, what would be absolutely wonderful, today's a good day for pond hockey. Let's lace them up, let's get some sticks and a puck or a frozen horse, you know what, and we'll use somebody's boots or saw horses for goals, and let's choose up sides.
Well, I know, but I'm thinking of a sport that you love.
Sailing.
Ice boating. No, it's called ice sailing.
Ice boating.
Ice sailing.
Yeah.
Because it is
fun.
And in Wisconsin, at this time of year, with the cold weather, the lakes are frozen over, and they're solid enough that you don't have to worry about ice boating. In fact, the guys who were out there in their shanties ice fishing, really, you know, the lakes are so frozen that they really have to dig down to get that, even get a hole through the ice to get down to do ice fishing.
Well, you know, Pat, I've been ice fishing in Massachusetts and weather.
Yeah, but have you been ice sailing?
No, I've only watched them sail.
And yes. It is, first of all, it's so cold you think you're going to die, but it is so much fun. It is, it's one of, I don't know if it's the fastest sport, but boy, it feels like it when you're out there in the middle of the lake going what seems to be 900 miles an hour.
Well, you know, they say that ice boating is one long scream, and it's a little bit like being on a roller coaster, except without the dips. Out on the Barnegat, if it freezes solid enough, I think the last time it did that was about 15 years ago. We went to a restaurant called Martell's Water's Edge, and they were having sailboat, ice boat races right outside. We could watch these guys practicing, and they were whizzing by on basically what looked like a sled, a flexible flyer with a sail on it.
Oh no! The real ice boats are big, you know. Anyway,
oh yeah, they're 20.
Of course, most of people from Wisconsin were really happy to escape to Miami and watch the Orange Bowl. Did you have an opportunity to watch my team win?
Well, congratulations to your Wisconsin team. They are Orange Bowl champs. I think that's. There's certainly an irony in that a team from a frozen place like Wisconsin gets to go to win in front of all those snowbirds in Miami. And, you know, when you're in the Orange Bowl is one of those bowl festivals that I'd love to go to. The Orange Bowl and the Rose Bowl.
Well, I've been to the Rose Bowl a number of times.
It's
but
a heck of a parade, isn't it?
It really is. You know, I know we're talking sports, but if you ever have an opportunity to go to, Pasadena for that parade, it is absolutely incredible. It's the one thing that you can't really visualize on television, no matter how good a job they do, because the smell of the flowers is overwhelming. And then the next day, you can go back to Pasadena and walk among all the floats.
And
that's just one of the really fun things. But, of course, I had to watch part of the Rose Bowl parade. But it was disappointing that Wisconsin didn't get to go to the Rose Bowl. Other than Ohio State messing up their season, that was their only loss. So that was fun to watch. I went out to one of the Wisconsin games. They were terrific. And they've got a lot of young players. So they're going to be, it's not like they've got everybody graduating this year. So it'll be interesting to see, number one, what happens with the draft. But number two, Hornibach will be back. He's a sophomore. Our great little Taylor from Salem, New Jersey. I thought they were going to shut him down in the Orange Bowl, but they didn't. Ohio State shut him down. But anyway, it was a fun game to watch, and especially in light of the very disappointing football season from our standpoint. But let's talk about what's going to happen with your Eagles now. Do you think Foles is going to be able to do it?
Well, Foles has been there before. He's won a championship game in 3 years ago. I think he was playing for Chip Kelly at the time, which doesn't say much for anybody, in my opinion. But before we talk about the Eagles, we've got some interesting matchups coming up this weekend. We've got the Titans playing the Chiefs, Pat, and I'm an Andy Reid fan, so I'm going with the Chiefs, and I think that's going to be a 24-21 game.
And where are they playing?
They're playing in Kansas City at 4:30 tomorrow, and I'm going to try to be home from work by about 3 o'clock tomorrow so that I can bundle up in front of my TV, have a hot dog, and watch that game.
No, I like Andy Reid, and I'd like to see them go further. I think they have a good shot tomorrow.
I think they do too. And to be completely blunt, I'm not a Tennessee Titans fan. I think they're kind of a neat team, but they are simply not there yet. And so what I'm hoping for is that when we have a kickoff, that the Chiefs start running up the score early and often, because I think it's going to become very important to be able to get into a bunch of good scores.
Now, who else is playing this weekend?
Oh, there's Falcons and Rams, and I have to tell you, I think the Rams are going to win. I'm not fond of the Rams, but they played so well against the Philadelphia Eagles that I must tell you that I think the Rams are going to unseat the Falcons as NFC champs. So we will have to see how that goes. What do you think?
I'm
a Matt Ryan fan, I have to say.
Yeah,
and prejudiced, but I think the Rams have shown. Rams showed that they could beat a team like the Eagles, but for the fact that they beat themselves in the last 5 minutes of the game with one penalty after another. And those penalties were not the kinds of penalties that you really should take if you're a pro football player.
But I don't
Every
know about the Falcons.
Unsportsmanlike.
I mean, I think I think that's going to be a tough game. I would, not that I'd like them to, but I think the Falcons will win that one. So who else?
Okay, then we got the Bills and the Jaguars. I think the Jaguars beat the Bills. This is the first time the Bills have been in the playoffs in about 20 years.
Oh, and I've got to hope that they do it.
Well,
my very favorite Meet the Press, Tim Russert. Remember,
I remember him.
I used to, he was such a Buffalo fan. And every time I, hear the Buffalo winning, I think of him. But
then we've got the Panthers and the Saints, and I think that the Saints beat the Panthers. I don't know why. I don't really understand this game. I'm extremely fond of Drew Brees, and I think he has the experience over a less experienced Carolina Panthers squad. On the other hand, you know, they have to play the game, and that's how we have to find
out. Now, are they playing in Arizona?
No, Panthers are playing the Saints in New Orleans.
I
figured that's what you meant.
I meant New Orleans.
Yeah, the Saints have the home field advantage. The Jags have the home field advantage. The Rams really have a home field advantage because Los Angeles is going nuts over them right now. And the Kansas City Chiefs, I always think playing at home is worth 3 points.
Oh, I absolutely agree. And you know, and I like to. I think I don't know. Is anybody not like Drew Brees? I mean, I think that he's one of those guys that
a very good quarterback. He's got good people to throw to. He's got good people to hand the ball to. A decent offensive line. Where I think the Saints have some flaws are on defense.
I agree.
Secondary. I think they can get eaten alive with a short pass underneath. And every now and then, I think the Panthers are going to go for a long bomb. This could be the kind of game where the Saints dominate possession but could lose by 3 points because the Panthers can be an explosive offense when they're on and when they can connect on a long pass.
Well, I do envy the Panther fans who get to go to New Orleans because that is just a fun, fun place to watch a game. I mean, especially a playoff game. Or a Super Bowl game. I mean, I went down for a Super Bowl, and it is. I mean, I love Lambeau. Don't get me wrong, but after the game at Lambeau, there's nothing to do other than go to the bars. And in New Orleans, you just walk back down to the quarter, and the party just continues.
Well, I beg to differ. In Green Bay, there's plenty to do. You can go out and have a really good steak. You can even pick out the one you want and cook it yourself in some of the restaurants.
Yeah, but you can do that all the time in Green Bay. I mean, you know, steak
is... I
was
only there once, Pat.
I know, but, you know, steak you eat every night in Wisconsin.
But on the other hand, you know, I have to admire your Green Bay fans. They show up wearing their coonskin caps to keep their heads warm because the cheese heads have all frozen. You know, those cheese head hats are hard when you get to be about 3 below. I wouldn't want to get hit with one of those. On the other hand, the coonskin caps are something to be admired because they say you really shouldn't wear one unless you shot the raccoon in your backyard and skinned them yourself. The other thing I have to admire about Green Bay fans is their hardiness. How many people can tailgate in 8-degree weather and down Jägermeister shots at 8 a.m.?
Well, and, you know, my claim to fame, of course, is everybody's complaining about the weather here. And Dave and I actually sat out when it was the playoff game against the Giants when it was 13 below zero. And that wasn't wind chill. That was 13 below zero.
Not counting the wind.
Not counting the wind.
That's cold.
That was unbelievably cold.
Well, that's like what W.C. Fields would say, as cold as a banker's heart.
Well, the big news, of course, in Green Bay is that they're getting rid of Dom Capers, the defensive coordinator.
I'm surprised.
Who's been there. Well, there have been a lot of rumblings in this last year. I don't know. Maybe it was just time to make a change. I think he's always been terrific. I like him better than I like McCarthy, but everybody knows that. This has just been the game against Detroit was just, I mean, it was just unbelievably bad. And, you know, you feel sorry for Huntley. Unfortunately, he runs, and so he can scramble. Every once in a while, the way he's running around, he actually looks a little bit like Rodgers, but he just doesn't have that long, accurate pass, and it's just been so demoralizing. I mean, Jordy Nelson wasn't suited up for the last game. A lot of defensive players have been out injured. they're really going to be doing some rebuilding in this next year. And of course, no team, as important as a quarterback is, no team can be that, it can't be just the quarterback.
Well, that's true, too. And you'll notice that Green Bay has had real problems on defense, and I think that's why Capers is going. Aaron Rodgers does not play unless Green Bay has the ball, and with the exception of guys like Clay Matthews and HaHa Clinton Dix, I thought a lot of the Green Bay defense had subpar seasons.
Well, they also got rid of, they had a lot of injuries.
That's true.
Balaga, Bakhtiari, Clay Matthews was not Clay Matthews. And then they got rid of, who am I trying to think of? Starts with a P.
Oh,
Peppers.
I know who you mean, Julius Peppers.
Julius Peppers. And, I think that was a mistake. I think they should have paid him for another year or two because...
They could have squeezed another season out of him. They didn't want to.
But, the problem with that is he made every other team watch because when he was on the field... There was more than one guy that they had to be worried about, and that was his real value, along with the fact that he did some great work himself. But I thought that was a huge mistake that they got rid of him or let him go.
Well, very often he would get double teamed. I remember Green Bay playing the Eagles, and they were 2 years ago. Wentz's first year, and he shot through the line and just put Wentz right on the ground. The other problem that the Eagles decided that they were going to double team him anytime it looked like he was going to be blitzing.
Well,
he's a strong man.
I did not get that one at all.
Well, trades are inexplicable. By the way, the Buffalo Bills announced that LeSean McCoy, former Eagles, ankle is well enough so that he's going to be playing against Jacksonville. I think that's a major advantage. I think Jacksonville's defense now has to make an adjustment they didn't think they had to make. The other interesting thing about that game is it's going to be played in Jacksonville. I think this is Jacksonville's first go-round with the playoffs. I don't think they've made the playoffs before, have they? Do you know, Pat?
Don't ask me that one because I really don't know. I was just so glad to see that Buffalo's back in, and I really am. Buffalo always reminds me, Steelers, Buffalo, Green Bay, they're all kind of the same, type of teams, working-class towns, and I guess they're the old teams. So who do you want the Eagles to have to play in their first go-around?
That's a good question. I can tell you that I'd like to see the Eagles playing a team like Carolina or a team like New Orleans. I think they're going to match up real well against them. I think the Eagle defense can handle Drew Brees. I think that the Eagle offense, with the weapons that Foles has to throw to and the running backs, I think they can pick New Orleans apart. My big fear is that they have to play the Rams, and certainly the Rams drew a bye, and at some point they'll have to play the Rams. The other thing is I think the Eagles can certainly play and in the divisional round, I think the Eagles will probably find themselves playing, let me get to it so that I can sound like an intelligent person for the first time today. Because it's been that kind of day, Pat.
Well, while you're thinking of that, let's go and we'll take a little break and we'll be back and... hopefully John will join us, but if not, well, he's just the two of us.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody right there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Alrighty, we're back. the sports guys. So what do you have to say about
the Philadelphia Eagles?
Yeah, well, we never thought we'd be at this point.
No.
And I think that's why John hasn't showed up. He can't bear to think that what happened to his Giants.
The Eagles are in and the Giants are not.
Well, and really, unfortunately, though, I guess Wentz is definitely out, right? I mean, he is.
Wentz is not playing football again until July.
What a shame after such a great year.
It is, but you know, an injury like that is, you know, that's just part of the game, as they say, them's the breaks. Philadelphia has a bye week this week, and I'd rather see them have Atlanta as an opponent as opposed to Carolina. Remember, the Eagles get the lowest seed, and Minnesota gets the highest seed. So the Eagles don't know whether they're going to be playing Atlanta or Carolina or New Orleans or L.A. And if I had my druthers, I'd rather see them play Atlanta or Carolina because they're the two lower seeds. On the other hand, if L.A. and New Orleans both win, then the Eagles are getting New Orleans, which I prefer, and Minnesota, because they've got the number two seed, they get Los Angeles. And I believe L.A. can beat Minnesota. But on the other hand, Pat, and here's where you and I part company, the Eagles did not play well against Los Angeles. And so I'm hoping Minnesota can beat them. I'd like to see an Eagles-Vikings NFC championship game.
No.
I think that would be kind of fun because I really am worried that the Eagles will lose to L.A.
Yeah, but I'd be more worried that they'd lose to the Vikings. But at least, you know, they
don't
have,
like the Vikings.
They've cinched the number one seed.
Right.
And, I think that the Eagles will have a hard time against the Vikings. I think you're overly optimistic. I think that maybe I just don't know enough about the Rams, but I think they'd have a better shot against the Rams than they will against the Vikings.
Well, remember, the Rams beat themselves. The Eagles didn't beat the Rams so much as the Rams beat themselves. And I recognize it was a 5-point spread at the end of the game, but the Rams took some bad penalties, even on the drive where Wentz got hurt. They took two unsportsmanlike penalties, and that kept the Eagles' drive going, where the Eagles finally Mick got ahead. And Wentz got hurt when he tried to dive into the end zone, didn't quite make it. And to his credit, he ran another play, and the Eagles scored a touchdown, and then he limped off the field, and we saw Nick Foles. So we saw Nick Foles play against the Cowboys last week, and the Eagles never got into the end zone. They lost the game 6-0 with Dallas getting two field goals. But the Eagle defense showed how tough they are, especially as a cold-weather defense.
Yeah, but also, didn't they have a lot of second-stringers in?
They sure did.
So,
sure,
you know, did. I'm not so sure that you can, you know, take a you know, predict much from that game. But what is amazing to me is, you know how many 8-7 teams are in? Don't look. Just tell me how many are in the playoffs.
You're talking about 7-9 teams.
No, I'm talking about 8-7 teams.
Well, let's see if I can tell you. I think Carolina. I think Atlanta. I think Tennessee.
No, actually, Buffalo Bills, 8-7.
Right.
Tennessee Titans, 8-7.
Right.
And the L.A. L.A. Chargers, 8-7.
I don't think the Chargers are in. I don't see them.
No, it must be the
it's the Rams.
Rams.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I pulled this out of no Chargers. Oh, they must have lost then.
The Chargers.
They lost.
No,
they lost.
Their
That's
Chargers
right.
Are not in.
Yep, they lost. The Rams were good. They were 11-4.
Yeah.
Or 11 and how did they?
Yeah.
What did they do last weekend?
The Rams, I think, were 10-6 or 11-5. I forget which.
Well, they were 11-4 before Sunday. So.
Well, Okay, but they won Sunday.
Right.
And so they're 12-4.
12-4.
Yeah, and your Eagles are 13-3. But, Pat, you know, I wanted to comment. We've got the College Bowl Championship game coming up. And when is that? We've got Alabama playing Georgia, a very exciting Southern U.S. Pair of teams. Football in the South is a religion, as we all know, particularly between those two teams where they've had a wonderful rivalry for the past 120 years. So who do you think comes out of this battle of a Titans?
Well, I don't know. And I haven't been following as closely as I usually do, but I'm not so sure that Alabama has looked as good as they have in prior years. So I think that Georgia has a good shot. I think either one of those teams could play and win. I think the thing that probably as a Big Ten supporter and a Big Ten person, you know, when you look at the teams, the Big Ten, especially Wisconsin, look how many of those guys are actually, you know, from Wisconsin, maybe Illinois. We had this great kid from New Jersey. But when you look at some of those other teams in the South, it's almost as if they recruit like the professionals. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that they have academically, they don't have to do much. And I think that's a whole, you know, different situation. Although I will say I admire their fans, they're diehard fans, just as we are from the Midwest. But I don't know. I still think that, you know, I've never really liked the way they played football in some of these southern colleges.
Well, you know, I always thought southern college football was very exciting. You know, it's the pageantry, the rivalries, the absolute craziness of the fans, and how pumped the players get.
Yeah, but
you know, when the, you know, this game is going to be played in Atlanta at something called Mercedes-Benz Stadium, which doesn't sound right. I think it should be like Pop Warner Stadium or Jim Thorpe Stadium. There's just something wrong there. But, you know, 100 years ago, Georgia Tech was a national champ. And now playing Alabama, this should be even more interesting. You know, John Heisman played for Georgia Tech, and he was also the coach there. And in addition to that, he was a performer on Broadway.
Heisman was?
John Heisman, oh yeah.
I didn't realize that.
But Georgia Tech is a heck of a football reputation, and you're going to see a great game between them and Atlanta, at least I hope. The interesting thing, the really interesting thing to me is how we're going to see a great game. What I hope will be a great game. I think it's one of the more exciting rivalries that we've had in many, many years for a bowl championship series.
Well, I don't know. But look at the one thing that I'd like to do at some point is go to the Big House to watch a game and watch that Michigan-Ohio State game. I mean, I have to tell you that. Maybe that's because I'm from the Midwest, but that to me would be the college game outside of, you know, the Rose Bowl. But that would be, other than Wisconsin playing, that would be the game that I would really love to see.
Well, that's a good game. I am looking forward to this, and I think we're going to see this you know, I know CBS carries it because I think that's the deal that they made. You know, the interesting thing is that we haven't really talked about is what's football? Where's football headed? A lot of people are beginning to say, well, you know, I'm not so sure. I want my kid playing, between the head injuries and anything else. And we had a conversation about this not long ago. It's been, however, a problem for a lot of players. You know, we now have concussion protocols. We now have all sorts of unusual care taken with regard to these injuries, whereas guys usually just tough these things out. Georgia won the Rose Bowl with a comeback in double overtime, and Alabama made Clemson look like a weak team, which they are not. So we've had an exciting football team. The last two teams standing are the Georgia Bulldogs and Alabama's Crimson Tide. Alabama dethroned reigning champ Clemson. So now we are at the final game, and it's Monday night. It's 8 o'clock Eastern time. You can see it on ESPN or CBS. And it's going to be a heck of a game, man. We have a John Manfreda sighting, and here he is wearing his New York Giants hat. We have to get him an Eagles hat, Pat.
Yeah, it's very popular on the golf course these days.
Okay, well, remember, they're all in Florida where we're not.
They were last year, too, before they went to Green Bay.
Well,
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
We have John Manfreda smiling away because his New Jersey Devils are in first place.
Yeah, and unfortunately, they lost last night after blowing a lead in Dallas. But
you know, the Dallas Stars are a team that could find themselves
right,
in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Very good team, yeah. I don't know what's going on with this.
Let's get John's mic squared away here so that he can, bestow us with his words of wisdom.
No, I think Bill's got it.
Okay.
That's good. That's
so
good.
John, we were talking about the bowl championship series. Do you take Alabama or do you take Georgia?
I it's awfully hard to bet against Alabama. Are we getting feedback on this? Or?
I don't think you're going to get this any tighter without.
No, I mean I can sort of hear what's.
Now you're good.
Yeah, but you can hear
feedback
here.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll switch to the other mic.
Here at WCHRDB, the voice of Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Internet Radio, and we need some tech support so that everything goes perfect and we can just focus on the program. So, folks, if you're out there listening and you love our chamber as much as we do, give a call and say, us sports guys need some tech support.
There you go, Bill. Well, still getting feedback.
My Philadelphia Flyers are sort of like the Jets.
Well, first of all, back to your question. I'll answer your question, which is I think it's awfully hard to go against Alabama. They have such great athletes on that team. They're so well coached, focused, and I mean, Georgia's got a good team too, but I would favor Alabama in that game.
Yeah, that's what I said. Unfortunately, I don't like either team, but football's football. What can I say?
Well, where did Wisconsin, after their bowl win, where did they wind up in the rankings? Just outside the top four?
I'm not sure.
I think they were in the top ten. They're right. They just missed it. They
did they? Because they were six before they won.
An argument could be made that they should have made that final four.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they were six before the game, and I guess if they couldn't go to the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl is at least second best.
Sure, sure.
And, of course, getting everybody out of Wisconsin, they looked as if there were almost half of the stadium was Wisconsin fans. I mean, it really was pretty amazing.
Well, if I were in Wisconsin, I want to go somewhere south, too.
You're right. Wisconsin would come here. This is balmy compared
The Meadowlands would be balmy compared to the frozen tundra. So anyway, Bill, that's my take. I know you want to talk hockey, and yeah, the Devils are doing well, but last night they outplayed. I watched the first game I actually watched because it was a snow day yesterday, so I found myself home, and when the game came on, I said, all right, let me watch it, and it was such a good game, I went out watching the whole game, and they took a 1-0 lead with like 10 seconds to go in the first period. The Stars made the cardinal sin. You can't give up a goal in the final minute of a period. That's a really bad thing. But they were able to come back and take a 2-1 lead. The Devils tied it. Then it was 3-2. Then it was 4-2. Devils scored about 3 minutes to go, and with seconds to go on the clock, they almost scored the tying goal, but Bishop came up real big in goal for Dallas, and they wound up beating New Jersey. But it was only the second time in the last 10 games that the Devils didn't get points out of a game, either a overtime loss, which is a point, or a win. So, yeah, Bill, they're either in for within a point or two of first place in their division and certainly exceeding expectations.
Well, I have a prediction. I think we see Columbus in the Stanley Cup playoff finals. They're looking better all the time.
Well, you got Tampa as well, which is phenomenal.
I think they can beat Tampa.
You think so?
Sergei Bobrovsky is playing well over his head.
We've seen him do that from time to time before.
And remember, every now and then he'll have a bad game and give up 5 goals, but you know, he's managing the puck well. He's making good passes to defensemen.
Let's just say if you could get him back in Philadelphia, you'd do it.
Oh, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Much as I like Brian Elliott, I think...
And Elliott's a solid goaltender, too.
Solid.
But as you know from all these many years, the playoffs require just that intangible, and certain players have it. You know, we can identify that in sports. You know, in basketball, you had, you know, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird. Now these days, LeBron James, and what's the guy in San Diego there, wherever his name is. And you know, in baseball, you've got certain pitchers that just reach back and give you something more. In football, you know, you have Eli Manning. Maybe you have Aaron Rodgers. You can maybe throw into that class too. Certainly Tom Brady as well. But I'm teasing, Pat, of course.
By the way,
Rodgers will be at the top of that.
We're
list.
Hoping that this is going to be an all Pennsylvania Super Bowl.
We think.
Wouldn't that be?
I don't think
fun?
I would not bet on that.
I'm not going to bet on it, but
I'm sure
fun.
Pittsburgh fans would love to see an all Pennsylvania final.
I agree.
I don't think they're going to get that.
Well, I don't want Minnesota to be the first team to play a Super Bowl in
right.
their own stadium.
Right.
And I'm
right.
fucking tired of watching the New England Patriots.
Oh, please.
And that, well, there's trouble in paradise, if you've all heard about it.
No.
Oh, there's trouble in paradise. Strong rumor has it. This is the final run for those guys. A rift began a few months ago over
and his quarterback.
And that, correct, Bill, and what that, the genesis for that is that for several years now, Brady has been receiving medical treatment not from the team medical staff, but his own physician medical staff that has some kind of elixir or whatever that keeps him. I think it's just Brady is a great athlete, but other players on the team have started to follow Brady's regimen and then consult with his physician. It got to the point where at one point Brady's doctor had an office right in the facility. And what they, you know, to obviously initially that was to accommodate Brady and a couple of the other players. I think Gronk, you know, some of the bigger players in that team, they couldn't ignore that. But what they found happening was the rest of the Patriots players were gravitating away from the team physician and towards this guru that Brady follows. And management started looking at that saying, hey, wait a minute, we have a well-trained, expensive medical staff. But what it really comes down to is they were losing control. And Belichick is all about control. So what he did at the start of the year and what started the rift was he ordered that guy off the premises. That guy is no longer welcome at Gillette Stadium. He's somewhere else not far away. But instead of just going down the hall and having your guy there, Brady now has to, you know, get on his horse and go somewhere to see the guy. And all these other Patriots are upset. They're all upset about it, and basically the team said, look, you have to use our medical staff, okay? You want to you know, you consult with an outside medical, that's fine, but you got to use our medical staff. We're going to make the final decisions here.
So why didn't they bring that guy on in some kind of a capacity? Because you know...
Because why would you do that if you're getting paid oodles of money way in excess of what they're paying the physicians on the Patriots, sure.
But
he's a guru.
Yeah, but football players are suspicious, too.
The point. That's exactly the point, Pat, because Brady had been using this guy with great success. They all wanted to,
so they disrupted
the team by throwing the guy off. You're exactly correct, Pat.
You know, I mean, they're going to try to, you know, any little thing, and if they think this guy had something, obviously they were going to,
The funny part would be, you know, what is it that this guy has? You know, it's always everything in New England. They're the smartest guys in the room, okay? So now they even have a medical guy who somehow can keep Brady going. Wouldn't it be funny if it turns out later that this is kind of like an A-Rod type thing where this guy was giving steroids or whatever to these players who
would you be surprised?
I would not be surprised. In fact, I'll bet half the sports world's hoping that they'll blow the lid off of this and find something going on there. Because why else? You know, it's interesting you pose that, Pat, because think about it. Would their ego and the control demand be big enough to jeopardize an 18-year run that they've had, that they're suddenly going to kick his doctor out and jeopardize what's been an unbelievable relationship? So, you know, now that you say that, you make me think maybe that is the tip of the iceberg, and they said, get this guy out of here before this story blows, and then they're going to get fined by the league. And why would Kraft, who I dislike intensely, he's a smart guy, though. He's very shrewd. And to your point, Pat, he may be saying, wait a minute, you know, Roger Goodell in the NFL, they hate us, number one. Number two, they'll do anything they could to get us the hell out of here. So if this guy has some taint to it, get him out now. So, you know, now that you mention it, Pat, that is a potentially valid position that they were taking. Like, get these people out of here. You have to use our medical staff. Implicit in that is we don't trust those guys. Why don't they trust those guys? Maybe there's something else going on. So would be interesting to see if something more comes of that. What's happening right now is they're all keeping their mouth shut because they've got home field in the AFC. They only have to win two games to get another Super Bowl. They're all saying, look, let's keep our mouth shut. We can make $100 million by playing three good games, winning again, and we'll go off into the sunset. But most people are speculating quite strongly that this is it.
Do you think it could come down to Belichick or Brady?
Oh, absolutely. If it came out that they moved the guy's office right in the facility, how are you going to not be? You'd certainly, constructive knowledge, which Bill could certainly explain that concept. But
do you think they'd get rid of Belichick?
I think the league wouldn't be the Patriots.
Let's forget. Let's say there's nothing going on, but because of the rift between Brady and Belichick, do you think it'll come to... You know, it's either one of them.
Well, I think that's the fall. But you're right. That's the other possibility, and probably the more probable. So I think if you are Kraft, you have to look at this and say, how do I maximize? I know Brady's only going to play one or two more years, but maybe I could get Belichick to coach 10 more years and win a couple more Super Bowls. So if you're Kraft, although you feel indebted to Brady forever for five Super Bowls, and actually getting them to nine or seven. They won five of the seven. There's just some team in New York that plays football.
No. They also lost
to the Green Bay Packers.
But
that
Packers.
Was pre-Belichick. That was in 1997.
I don't care. I can my team beat the New England Patriots.
They did. Team beat Tom Brady twice. That's six-round draft pick. In any event, the point being, to answer your question, I think Kraft would say, look, I got to stick with Belichick because that's the glue. If Brady's going to – first of all, where's Brady going to go? He's under contract. Denver, Elway says he's going to bring – you know, he brought in Peyton Manning. Now he's going to bring in Brady. What are the Patriots going to want? If they're going to want 10 years' worth of first-round draft picks for that. I think it's very impractical.
You know what? Brady's wife is not going to go to Denver.
Correct. Yeah,
she's going to stay.
Yeah, she wants Boston. They